flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Clay, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great, fellas. It's good to be down here in Mobile, Alabama. I mean, it's in the south. It's actually sunny down here. It was 65 degrees. I got a little bit of a sunburn.
Well, so you know, I'm warm happy. Here too, Clay. It's about 40 here too, so we're getting the sunlight here. So you're not like you're escaping the polar vortex, but it is nice that they have good weather down there. So what did you do yesterday? What are you looking for? Ryan Poles arrived. We made a big deal about where he was the first day. He gets down there. We know the Bears are looking for a little bit of everything. What did you focus on yesterday?
You guys already know what I focused on. I focused on what the Bears need to be focused on, and that's the trenches. And that's honestly all I've really watched. I mean, obviously some skill guys have popped too, but I just focused on the trenches. And, I mean, there are some players down here. I think this is one of the – I've been to the last 3 Senior Bowls, and I have to say this is the best group of O-line, D-line that I've seen since I've been down here. And you know the Bears look for guys at the Senior Bowl. You go back to Braxton Jones, he was the Senior Bowl guy, Dominic Robinson, Darnell Wright, Tyreek Stevenson, Zach Pickens, Roschon Johnson, Kieran Amagaji, and David's favorite player, Torrey Taylor, Bajan as well. So you know they're down here looking, and the trenches are looking good.
You know, it's interesting because I read yesterday, and I guess I knew this, but it was something I hadn't seen, that Ryan Poles has drafted at least 2 players out of the Senior Bowl since he's taken over the Bears. And I agree with what you're saying. Now, a lot of really good players are at the Senior Bowl. It's the best of the bowl games, the postseason all-star games. I guess when I think about kind of where the Bears are at, you know, looking, I don't know who it was, maybe CBS dropped their top 50 players and they only had 9 offensive linemen about among those 50. Usually there are more. Is this a draft, generally speaking, where there's more depth on the offensive line, or it doesn't seem like it's top heavy? And I'm wondering, if you believe, and I'm with you totally, it's got to be the trenches. Do you believe they go more defensive line in the first round, or do they, you know, they got two second round picks, high second round picks. Do they wait till then? And how many linemen do they need out of this draft on each side of the ball?
After being down here, I'm confident that there will be a good number of picks available on the offensive line at 39 and 41. So I would be good with them going D-line with that first pick at number 10, because there is some depth. There's a couple guys that I really fell in love with that I think will still be available in those two second-round pick spots that could be guys you could literally plug in, an interior lineman. And the good thing about the interior lineman, because the Bears, they do have a little bit of wiggle room, obviously left tackle. Some people say upgrade, some people say don't. But a lot of times these interior linemen will fall into the second, you know, third round because they're not looked at as a priority. That's obviously changing a little bit. But I think that this class is really strong with a bunch of interior linemen in that second to third round range. And you got a lot of guys that have transferred from tackle to guard, even out here in Mobile, and have looked so much better. And they look like pro players. The first thing I look for when I'm out here is I go, is this guy an NFL football player? And then after that, I go, okay, what's this guy need to work on? What does this guy do well? And then that's kind of how I make my judgments on if I think he's a player or not.
And so, Clay, I referred to the Senior Bowl earlier in the show. Is that's where the rank-and-file players of the NFL draft go to. They get observed and they make their impressions. And I just wonder, when you see all the traits you just described, those are great. But I wonder if you could relate to or can identify guys who just have that certain sort of, whether it's a hunger, whether it's a mentality. You know, you came out of Missouri State. You were drafted in the fourth round, and you spent 7 years in the NFL. Maybe because you always felt like you were trying to prove something because of where you were drafted or where you came from. How many guys like that have you seen, and how common is that mentality at the Senior Bowl?
Oh, it's huge. And, David, don't steal one of my years. I played 8 years, man. They're going to take away my pension now because of you. But I always look for that. I look for the small school guys because a lot of times you don't know how they're going to play with when they're going against a guy that has LSU or Florida on his helmet. I played the East-West Shrine game when I was coming out, and that was a big game for me, showing that I could play with this different competition level. And there's a number of guys that I like that are smaller school guys. Obviously, you see it less and less with the portal. But you look at the past years. I remember Quinyon Mitchell out here just showing out. Ladd McConkey, a guy that rose. Ricky Pearsall going to last year. There was a number of guys that came out here and were overlooked, and you just saw how competitive they were, taking every rep, going out there winning rep after rep. And then you see these guys go high in the draft, and then you see them have success in the NFL. That's why I love coming out here every year, because it's translatable, because you can see the guys that are first in line with every drill, but aren't scared to go up against the top guy. And that's the guys that you see success.
I'm curious. So, you know, you obviously, Jacksonville, one of your teams, you know what that's like there. You could probably yell the word Duval a lot better than Liam Cohen managed. I'm curious, tell us about Press Taylor. Do you like that hire? He is a former OC down there. I don't know that he can yell Duval right, but he you know, is a passing game coordinator, so it's not the same job. But what's your take on him?
You know, I like Press Taylor as a human. He was in Philly with me when I was there. He was, you know, Doug Peterson obviously came from Philly to Jacksonville. And then in Jacksonville, I spent some time down there going to training camps and hanging out with those guys. And he's an excellent human. And he's a guy that's going to work his tail off, but he just did not have a lot of success in Jacksonville. If you ask any Jacksonville Jaguar fan, they do not like Press Taylor. The big controversy down there is, why is Doug Peterson letting Press Taylor call plays? Everybody thought Doug Peterson should have called plays. First, Doug's not saying who's calling plays. Then you find out that Press is calling plays. Then maybe Doug's calling plays, and it's this big controversy. And it obviously didn't add up to success for Trevor Lawrence. I think he's a smart guy. He's been around ball. He's been around a number of quarterbacks. But for whatever reason, in Jacksonville, he was given the opportunity, and he didn't have success when he was taking the reins. But I think he's obviously in a different position here. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have to call plays. And I think he'll be a much better coach when he takes that off his plate. He just focuses strictly on the passing game and helping out any way he can with Caleb.
So, Clay, we're talking about the Bears looking for an offensive line coach still. That's the one position and maybe the most important position that remains unfilled on the coaching staff. They're looking at Justin Fry at Ohio State, Dan Rouchard at Tulane, who has some NFL experience. They're looking at Notre Dame's offensive line coach. From your perspective, knowing what these practices are like and how maybe, you know, the game is changing, what are the advantages or maybe the pros and cons of going to the college ranks to find your offensive line coach for a team like the Bears?
I think it's a guy that will bring a fresh perspective, a guy that's malleable, a guy that you can kind of, teach with, and a guy that's really going to be receptive to the way you want to do things. Because a lot of these offensive linemen, offensive line coaches, I mean, they have their own way of doing things. They have their mind made up. So it's kind of tough when you come from a new system and you want to teach things a certain way to find an offensive line coach that's going to be able to coach the outside zone the way you want to coach it, to coach the gap scheme the way you want to coach it, to coach the pin and pull box the way you want to coach it, to have the same thoughts of protection as you do. So when you go for a college coach, I think there's a little bit more of an opportunity to sit in the room with them and kind of come up with a plan, because these guys, these offensive line coaches are different. I mean, it's a tough job. I think it's obviously outside the offensive coordinator, it's absolutely the most difficult and the most important job on offense. And it's very difficult. And if you don't have a cohesiveness between the offensive coordinator and the offensive line coach, you know, things can get a little messy because now they're seeing things a different way.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Yeah, it's a crucial job, especially here, especially this year, right? Because you got to get a teacher in here because there's player development needed, and you got to get, as you're saying, you got to draft some guys here. I've been waiting for this hire as much as anybody on staff. I was really hoping that that Fraley would follow him here, but that's not happening. So you got to move on. And, you know, these guys all have careers and they all have reasons to like them. And I, as a general group, I love offensive line coaches.
Oh yeah, they're usually guys with a big personality, and they have such a. There's been some rumors floating around at the Senior Bowl that the Bears have found their offensive line coach. I don't know who this is really coming from, but I think these guys are so important because they have to command such a big room, and you're talking obviously 5 guys on the field at one time. There's no other position that has to deal with that. An interior offensive line center is so different than an offensive tackle, the way you set, the way you run block, the pin and pulls, and getting these guys to act together. It's such an important position. You definitely want to see that get taken care of quickly so you can start getting to work and start figuring out the way you want to teach these techniques, because it's not an easy lift when you're out there and you're trying to figure out exactly how you're going to coach some of these schemes.
Talking with Clay Harbor, who is my colleague at the Chicago Sports Network, down at the Senior Bowl, evaluating talent, looking forward to another day of practice. So, Clay, take us into the meeting room the first time that Declan Doyle addresses the offense. The Declan Doyle, the offensive coordinator, who's 28 years old. DJ Moore turns 28 in April. I just wonder, how big of a challenge is that for a 28-year-old offensive coordinator to command the respect that, you know, you expect an offensive coordinator to have?
You know, it's a different time now, and you've seen some success with some guys like Kevin O'Connell and obviously Sean McVay, some young guys, but, you know, it's different. It's different having a guy that is literally your peer in your age group. I've never experienced it. You know, I've had some offensive coordinators going from Marty Morningwig when I was in Philly, you know, Jacksonville. We had Greg Olson, Ole out there. And then go to the Saints. You got Sean Payton, who's basically the offensive coordinator. I mean, it's just different. We go to the Patriots, and we have Josh McDaniels, our offensive coordinator. So those are guys that have done it and have obviously commanded the room before, and are a little bit older, a little bit your senior. I've never experienced a guy that I'm older than telling me what to do as an offensive coordinator. I think obviously these guys are professionals, and he's going to be a whiz kid on the computer and the analytics and all that. And you know, I don't know if Ben's not going to be doing a lot of the teaching in there on his own, but at some point Declan Doyle is going to have to step up and get in front of that room and do some of the install. So that's interesting when you do have a guy his age and in that position. I don't know that I've ever seen that before in my experience, but I think these guys are pros. And what you have in Chicago is a group of young guys mixed with some veterans, and these guys all want to learn. And you got the guys with the right type of mindset. So I think it'll be fine, but it definitely is different.
Is Dan Rauscher the name you heard of the O-line coach in waiting? Or they interviewed Justin Fry yesterday. They've talked about the Notre Dame guy. But I think Rauscher might be the guy you're talking about.
Dan Rauscher, he's been floating around down here. And, I mean, obviously, I don't have it on good authority, but some of the local Chicago guys talking out here say they've heard it, that he is going to be the next offensive line coach, but don't quote me on that.
Yeah,
that's just a rumor floating around in Mobile.
That's okay, Clay. Nobody's listening.
it's just us talking.
How about the quarterbacks? What quarterbacks are you keeping an eye on? I know the Bears aren't in the market for a quarterback, but certainly the Senior Bowl's week for a lot of quarterbacks. They can take a leap. I think Riley Leonard is there, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Let me give you some of my players here. Riley Leonard has had an up and down week. Jalen Milroe has had an up and down week, but Dart, I think, is the guy that's impressed me. He's been pretty accurate. I think he's a guy that's moving up draft boards. Dylan Gabriel, he's got an absolute cannon. He's small, but he's got an absolute cannon. I think they say he threw a ball like 75 miles an hour, which is pretty impressive. But I got the perfect guy for the Chicago Bears, man. And this guy's from North Dakota State. And I covered him, actually, when I called games for the Missouri Valley Conference and David's alma mater, Ball State, and I do some Mid-American Conference stuff. But this guy, Gray Zabel, he was a tackle in college. He played right and left tackle. And he comes out here, and he moves to guard. North Dakota State product. Huh? And he starts playing guard and center. And I'm not kidding. I don't think this guy has lost a rep all week. And he's a guy I could see. He was talked about as a third, fourth round guy. I think he's climbed up into the second round, but he reminds me of Grant Barton, Cody Mock. So just remember that name, Gray Zabel. And then hear me out on this. I know this is pretty crazy, but there is a 5'10 center, 270 pounds, and this guy is just destroying people. He got Mike Tomlin salivating. He was a state championship wrestler, and Willie Lampkin. I mean, this guy from North Carolina, he's 5'10", 270. I don't know how you guys would feel about having a 5'10 center, but he is
Caleb could see over him.
He can see over him. I'm telling you, it's the strangest thing I've ever seen. This guy's 5'10". He's going up against a guy that's 6'8", and he's winning the rep.
That's awesome.
He's just so good at leveraging. It's impressive. Running back Trevor Etienne, he's 5'8", but he is a guy that can catch, that can run. Kez Johnson at wide receiver is just – he can't be guarded. Jake Beck, a guy that's been doing unbelievable out here. Then my edge rusher for you guys, I love Mike Green. He led the FBS with 17 sacks. He's 6'3", 6'4", 250, played well against Ohio State, and he was just bulldozing guys out here. The last guy I have was Texas A&M's edge rusher, Shamar Stewart. I mean, this guy, I think he went from third round to possible first round pick. So there's a lot of guys in the trenches that have really helped their stock out here. And I think it's going to be – it's a good draft. And I know people weren't saying that, but I think it's a good draft for O-line, D-line, and Ryan Poles will hopefully get it right this year.
That's great information, Clay. Before we let you go, I need a ruling here. So we had some fun at your expense on the Big Pro Football Show. What is your philosophy when wearing your former jersey, number 82, to Eagles events or when in Philadelphia? Because we got a picture of you actually having your 82 jersey on eating lunch.
No, wait, you guys didn't show that on
They
the show,
showed
though,
that on TV. I was watching it. And David even teased that you'd be on today, and I was thinking – you look like, first of all, and this is a compliment, Clay, you look like you got the pads on when you're just wearing the jersey. You look like you're ready to play. But I mean, yeah, it looked like it was game-worn. I mean, it looked like it was pretty beat up.
Yeah, it was a game-worn jersey, but that was the only gear I had. It's the conference championship here. You know, all I have is my jersey. Yeah, I'm going to go out and support my guys. And the thing was, I wasn't even in Philly. I was in Toronto. Nobody's going to realize this is my cousin's 30th birthday. We went out to Toronto. We're at a sports bar. I go, who the heck would even know who the heck I am that I play for the Eagles out there? And then, yeah, I see this picture floating around. I didn't know you guys got me like that yesterday. That's a low blow, David.
Looking good, though, Clay. I'm all for that. I think you're wearing the colors. I support that you support your team.
Yeah, I got the Eagles obviously winning this one. I think surprise Vic Fangio.
Yeah,
you know, Vic Fangio's been calling a heck of a defense this year, and I think he's going to do enough for the Eagles defense so that Saquon and Jalen and the boys can pull this one out.
Good stuff, Clay.
Great stuff, Clay. Thanks a ton.
Safe travels.
Thanks, guys.
That's Clay Harbor.